I've admired them for many years for their wonderful marriage and all that they've poured into so many of us younger people. So I'm so excited to have you guys here tonight. How many have eaten at Taste of Texas? Raise your hand. Okay, so almost everybody in here. If you haven't, you've got to get there, especially at Christmas time. And I'm going to tell one quick story. I don't know if y'all know this, but when you walk in the Taste of Texas, there's scripture. When you hear the music playing, it's Jesus music on the radio, I call it. I love it. Nina prays with her staff every morning before they go out on the floor. That place is covered in prayer. And I remember going there in 1977 because it's the year I graduated high school. So y'all are coming on 40 years this year, right? 40 years at the restaurant. So God has blessed them through their, being blessed by God, they have in turn blessed so many other people. So you guys help me give them a warm welcome, Ed and Nina Hendy.
Thank you. Sweet friend we were young. We've been friends forever. Friends, welcome. We are just delighted to be here just to talk about hospitality. And we've had a lot of practice with hospitality, being in the restaurant business. But we've also had a lot of practice with hospitality in the church business. We married and worked for Steak and Ale in Dallas, and they moved us to Houston, and we attended a little Bible church out in Bear Creek, the Bear Creek Community Church. It was a wonderful body, little body of believers, a friendly group. We made lifelong friends through the outreach of that church. And then we moved to Katy, and our daughter, Lisa, broke her arm. And she was in the second grade, and she broke her arm badly. And she had a staph infection in her bone, so she was hospitalized at Memorial City Hospital from the end of June until the 1st of August. She was 7 years old. And the friends from Tallawood Baptist Church heard Lisa was in the hospital, and they started writing her prayer grams. And they started writing their prayer grams often, and she loved them because they were brightly colored notes. We weren't church members. We went to church in Bear Creek. We started papering the walls of her room with hundreds of notes that were written in outreach, praying for this child. She was desperately ill for a time because she had osteomyelitis. She could have died. And the people of Tallawood loved us. They didn't even know us. A couple of them were customers, and they heard, and they started writing hundreds of notes, which we still have. Well, she got a weekend pass. She had an IV. She had 9,000 milligrams of an antibiotic by an IV a day for 32 days, and she got a pass. She got her IV out, and they were going to let us go to church. And Ed said, well, you know, look at this wall. Let's try this Tallawood Baptist Church, because it was very near the hospital. So we went to Tallawood, and we dropped our older daughter off. Then we found the 3-year-old Sunday school class for our daughter, Kristen. And we went in, and they welcomed us and loved on her. And we went to the adult Sunday school class, and we came back to pick Kristen up. And Kristen's a redhead. Enough said. 3 years old. Little bitty. And we walked up, and the couple at the front door of the 3-year-old Sunday school class looked at Ed and said, what do you all do for a living? And Ed said, well, we're in the restaurant business. We own the Taste of Texas restaurant right back here behind your church. And the man said, that makes sense. Your daughter made margaritas for the entire class. Oh, yeah, she did. She went into the little home and family living center, and we were taking her to work every day. And we didn't realize, you know, that putting her with the bartender was not a great idea at 3, because not only did she make margaritas for the group, she said, "Do you need more triple sec?" Oh, glory, friends. Really? They welcomed us in, and they loved us into their body, even though we had a 3-year-old that made margaritas. We moved her at that point upstairs to our assistant, and she learned how to do bookkeeping instead of bartending. And then we moved in. We lived in Katy, and we moved in to be closer to the taste. And our son broke his leg, and it was a very bad break. The guys will shudder when I say this. He had a Joe Theismann break. Ugh, a terrible break. On the football field his sophomore year, he broke his tib and his fib and had a steel rod and was in horrible pain. And he played 5 or 6 sports, and he lost athletics. And he came home at Christmas, and he said, I have to have more. I've lost athletics. I need academics. I'd like to go to Second Baptist School." And I didn't even know where Second Baptist Church was. I mean, we lived from, you know, home to work to church and back. And so we applied, and he got in, and the kids wanted to go to church where they went to school. So we went to visit, and we're in the hospitality business, and we love people. And so we walked in, and it's a little nerve-wracking to walk into a new place. It's a little bit uncomfortable when you don't know anyone, and we didn't know a soul. And we went in, and they gave us a class number, and we walked into this class, literally. And it was very quiet, and all of the friends were standing in their groups talking amongst themselves, and no one looked up, and the ones that did looked away and kept talking to their friends, and they didn't say a word. And Ed looked at me, and I looked at Ed, and very quietly we backed out of the room. We were horrified. And we were embarrassed. We were there visiting. We didn't know a soul, and no one spoke to us. And we're in the restaurant business, and we could have gone up and said, "Hello, my name is Nina Hindi. We're visiting today." We could have reached out, but we were embarrassed, and we walked out. And at the end of the hallway, we heard riotous laughter coming out of this classroom. It wasn't quiet at all. They were having a ball. And Ed grabbed my hand and said, "Okay, let's go there. They're having fun." And we walked in the door. Now think about this. We're in the same church. We're in the same hallway. And it's the same people. But it was a different philosophy of how to love others. We walked in the door, and people walked up and said, "Hello, welcome. Are you visiting today? What do you do? Do you have children?" And they drug us over, and they introduced us. "This is my friend Julie." And they talked to us, and they loved us, and we loved it. And then the next afternoon, they called us, and they said, "Come back next Sunday and let's go to lunch." They reached out, and, you know, friends, we're not shy people, but they reached out and said, "Come, you are important to us." And they literally loved us into this group, and we're still there. We invited a friend to church that is not a church-going person. And that friend said, "You know, no one has ever invited me to church before. I wanted to cry. How many people do we know today that we work with that live next door to us that have never been invited to fellowship among us. Oh my goodness. It makes me so sad. We had an outreach last week, and we called our entire class roster. My husband is just an incredibly gifted teacher. And we did outreach, and we called the roster. And it was so much fun to hear from people. They were so delighted that someone called them so they could say, I had my gallbladder out. We told them we missed them. They want to know. But we have to reach into their lives. When they walk through our door, they feel exactly the way we did when we walked into that very quiet Sunday school teacher where the friends were having a ball fellowshipping amongst each other. But not having a ball reaching out saying, oh, look, here's someone that needs to be in our class. We're in the hospitality business, and we have 212 employees, or as Ed says, 211 after last night. And our employees are taught hospitality from a very basic level. One way that we teach hospitality is by making eye contact. And teaching a 16-year-old to actually make eye contact is hilarious because they don't know how to do that. They have no social skills because of their device. They don't know how to look up and look at you and smile at you. Did you know when you meet someone, you have 4 seconds to make a favorable impression? And they are twice as likely to think favorably of you and remember you if you smile and make eye contact. And in our world of personal devices, we so forget to just look at each other and say welcome and smile. So our motto for our staff at the Taste is smile or die. Smile and get over it. We do a smile check for our staff. We have a morning staff meeting at 10:45, and we all get on the same page. I find out if anyone needs prayer. I find out what's going on in their world. A good thing to ask people is, how is your world? They will say, well, I had my gallbladder out. Thank you for asking. How is your world? So we have this staff meeting, and that's how we catch up, and we get on the same page, and we talk about the events that are happening in the restaurant. And oftentimes we will line our staff up as they're going out to greet you, our guest. We have a smile check. We check to see if they're ready for hospitality. And Ed's favorite thing to do in the world is to send them to the back of the line. Let's leave our problems at the door. Let's come in and let's exhibit hospitality. When you come in the front door of the Taste of Texas, you have been prayed over. We get to the restaurant in the morning. We walk the building. We pray the building. Pray for all that will God will bring in. Sunday morning when you get here, as you're walking in, pray for all that God will bring into this amazing place. Pray for those that are hurting. Pray for those that are shy. Pray for those that have, God has brought them to this place. Now we have to reach out and grab them and say, welcome. You want to go to lunch? Let's go to Luby's. They love it. And they're shocked by it because our world no longer exhibits that kind of reaching out and grabbing. We love what we do. We love being here with you. Hospitality is our favorite thing. When the Taste opened in 1977, We had 8 employees and 3 customers that were all relatives. Some of you ate in the old taste, and I am so sorry. Our food really was not great. But one thing that we've always understood was hospitality. So when we were broke in 1985, we had worked 8 years. I was cleaning houses in Bear Creek. I cleaned 4 houses a day, 5 days a week for 5 years, and we were so broke. Our menu had too many things on it. Nothing was excellent, but our hospitality was great. We started asking our customers, "What are we doing wrong?" And they said the most remarkable thing: "Try having better food." Okay. What, Julie's laughing. Julie's sitting right here, and she has walked this road with us for so many years. Sunday, as you walk up, touch the doorpost. Pray for those that God is going to bring to you. Pray for that person sitting in front of you. People come to church for lots of different reasons. But many people come when they're in crisis, and they need you, and God has brought them here, and you are the one that is chosen. So smile or die. I know you love to talk to your friends, because I do too, but reach out to the one that's standing alone. I'm going to introduce the most incredible man, my husband, Ed Hindi, has the gift of hospitality in a way that is just so stunning. We've been married 142 years. And we have 3 children, 8 grandchildren, 211 employees. We love what we do, but he is a gift from God. When I leave for work in the morning, my husband looks at me, as busy as he is, and says, "What can I do for you today to make your world easier?" An incredible man. And my sweetheart, Ed Hindi.
I'm married over my head. It was a deliberate act. I just remember thinking, when I was living with a bunch of other hairy-legged guys, that this has got to be something better than this, and prayed, and God moved me to Dallas, and I met my sweetheart. What are 2 people in the restaurant business talking to y'all about running a church? It's really kind of a funny topic. But we have to do the same thing that you have to do. You have to invite people in, make them feel welcome, begin that sharing relationship and exchange, and have a long-term commitment from it, long-term engagement. And that's what we have to do. Along the way of the restaurant business, about 15 years ago, I got invited to come on a talk show and with Dan Patrick on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice. Spent a lot of time doing that. And I ended up for 15 years being a radio talk show host because I needed a part-time job before I went to my full-time job. And during that time, I found a radio coach, because I thought, if I want to do this thing, I want to do it right. And I found the smartest guy in the entire country. He was, that time, was in Dallas, Texas, and he explained to me the power of one. The power of one. And I want you, when you leave here tonight, I want you to understand this concept. All of your nerves connect where? Your brain. Not my brain, not the brain of the person next to you. Everything that you sense is in your body, in your life, with your cares, with your needs, with your wants, with your desires, with your interests, with your perceptions, with your frustrations, and with your joy are all centered around you. And if I'm going to talk to you, I have to talk to you. I can't talk to y'all. I can't talk to all of y'all. I can't open a microphone in the radio business and say, "Hello out there in radio land." People at that point just reach over and punch the button and go away. if you talk in the radio business to one person. He used to practice this by putting a picture of a person on a frame across the desk from me, and I would talk to that one person. Then everything became personalized. Everything became individualized, and we had tapped into the power of one. And the minute we made it plural, all of you, most of you, or whatever, you give that person permission to leave because it's not about them anymore. Now, that's the radio business. What does that have to do with the restaurant business? Here's our first guest coming in the door. How are you? It's nice to have you here tonight. Excellent. Is it your anniversary? That's great. Everybody else is here with their anniversary, too, so why are you special? You see the problem? Yeah, we have 15 years. Oh, somebody over there with 18. You don't care. What do you care about? Your event. Your joy. This is fantastic. It's the rapture. I always wanted to be in a Baptist church when the rapture happened. This is great. You want to be special. You want to be individual. You want it to be about you. That's what it's about. When my wife wakes up in the morning, she does not want me to do what? Go sit at the breakfast table, get my cup of coffee, get on my device, or pick up my cell phone and start calling my buddies. What does she want? She wants me to talk to her. And she wants to share what she wants and what she's doing and what I want, what I'm doing. And it's about now this one becomes two. In the restaurant business, it's exactly like that. When I talk to employees, how do they want to be talked to? And we have this thing now called millennials. We created them. We deserve this. What do the millennials want to be talked about? Do they want to be part of a group? No, they want to be individual. Guess what? It's not the millennials alone. It's all the way up the chain to the people of our age. We want to be talked to and treated individually. Each one of us has things going on we want to talk about. Each one of us want to get in a conversation with someone in a situation where, you know, some party or whatever, small talk. If you want to have a successful conversation, just say, what's going on with you today? How's your family? Where are you going these days? Are you going to take some time off this summer? Find something to get them to talk about themselves, and they will talk all the time about themselves, and they'll enjoy the conversation. Okay, back to our concept of the restaurant business. We walk up to tables. How's your dinner tonight? Nice to have you here. What are you celebrating? So great you come. Oh, this is your cousin so-and-so. Oh, I met her 14 years ago. It's so nice to see you again. Who the heck is this? You've got to have that ability to turn it into that personal exchange. Now, how does that relate to the church business? The people coming in the door of your church are the same people in the door of your classrooms are the same as the people come to our restaurant and the same people that I was talking to on the radio. They came here for a reason. When this coach I had finally got my brain open to this, he said, Ed, you're on from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. There are other things to do in people's lives between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. And you're asking them to stop what they're doing and come and turn on the radio and listen to you. You better give them a darn good reason or they won't be there. When someone comes to the front door of our restaurant and opens the door, what's the first thing the door hostess better say? Welcome to Taste of Texas. It's nice to have you here. Yes, I know you have to say this. It's understood. You got off work today and came home and changed out of your work clothes, and you probably even took a bath or something like that, got your hair done, and you came to the restaurant and drove all the way over here, parked the car, and walked in here just so we can take good care of you, as opposed to, and have you been to these restaurants? Have you seen this happen? You have a reservation? Restaurant's wide open. There's nobody in the place because we're older and we eat earlier. That's how I know, because we're in bed by 8 o'clock so we can get up at 4 and go to the gym. And they'll say, do you have a reservation? No, we don't. Well, I don't know. How about no? I can't. Where's the welcome? Where's the hospitality? It doesn't exist. Last summer, this happened to us in Dallas, Texas. Remember the restaurant? Yeah, I won't see the name of it. It wasn't ours, or else we'd have 210 employees right now. And they finally, I said, you know, it's 5:45. We're going to take about an hour to eat. If you had a 7 o'clock reservation, I'll guarantee you I'm off the table by 6:45. Does that make it easier for you? Well, maybe one table upstairs. Let me go check. She finally seats us upstairs. How many tables do you think were upstairs when we walked in there? Zero. At 6:45 when we left, how many tables were up there at that time? Half full. Is there any hospitality in that whatsoever? Zero. The National Restaurant Association took a poll 20 years ago. It's absolutely accurate today. 60% of the people who don't go back to a restaurant don't go back because of a feeling of indifference. Indifference. How do y'all feel about indifference? I hate indifference. I'm allergic to indifference. And if I have an employee of mine who shows indifference to one of our customers, we're going to have a very short relationship or a very quick change. It's going to be one of the two. The entire concept of our business is to make people feel welcome. Now, on Sunday mornings when we have our class, in comes a person who's from Kansas, whose second cousin's in Houston. They're going to be here for one weekend. We're never going to see them again, and they're in the class. How must we make them feel? Like they're the most special people in the world. We're delighted to have you. Thank you for coming. What a fun thing. We love Kansas. Where in Kansas do you live? Really? Are you near the one tree in Kansas? Anybody ever been to Kansas? You know what I'm talking about? There's one tree in the whole state. I'm serious. You can see it. You can, if your dog runs away, you can watch it for 3 days. It just never ends. Find something fun to talk about with Kansas, okay? They're there for a reason. It's easy to do this. The Texas Restaurant Association, which did a pretty good job of this, they did a survey, kind of like the National Restaurant Association survey, and they came up with a motto. I think they sat together for 3 months in board meetings, and they finally came up with this motto. A motto, really. Here it is. You ready? We're glad you're here. When I first saw that, I about busted my side laughing, and then I realized it's actually probably the best thing they could have come up with. Because when you come into dinner, if I don't make sure you feel that that I can express to you and all of my staff by their actions say, we're glad you're here, you won't be here anymore. And the fact is, most restaurants fail in the first year, half of them, and the ones that are left fail by the end of 5 years. The turnover is atrocious. And most of it is not because they can't find a cook, a recipe book, or buy the same food that we're buying. It's because they have not trained a staff that has made the customer feel special, have not tapped in the power of one, can't show hospitality, and cannot express night after night, we're glad you're here. Same thing in the church business. I don't know what the percentages are for people who have come into a church and then left, but my guess is it's at least 60% that would say they felt an attitude of indifference. So our number one job is to make sure that anybody walks into our classes, into your church, into our church, and when we come to worship here, we need to be the same thing because we're close enough friends with First Baptist that we can consider ourselves part of the greeting team. You turn around and greet the person next to you. You don't have a professional greeter that has a hello jacket on that does this. We, as believers, as church members, have to become those greeters. The first time that we went to that church, that little church that wrote us all the cards, I have to tell you, I had made sworn oaths that these feet would never set foot on Baptist soil, so help me, because of a perception that I wasn't welcome there. I'd never been in a Baptist church. Where did I get that feeling? Where did it come from? Okay. You would say, well, obviously, Ed, you're slightly demented. Okay. It's nice to have you know me that well. There are days where I have little problems. On the outside, there's the inside people and the outside people. You're sitting on the inside of a big church and a beautiful church and a church that we love to come and attend as well. Your perception from the inside is not what the issue is about. go walk across the freeway and stand over there and stare at this church, and now you see the perception of the people who have never been in here before. They're scared to death to walk in this church. It's big. It's complicated. Which door do we walk in? We don't know what to wear. We don't know where to park. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to sit. We don't know, is it, do we stand up? Do we sit down? Do we clap? What do we do? Do we do the wave? What is it we don't do? And we don't carry around. Does anybody have all those things, those big five-pound books? Bibles? You know that most churches don't do that. It's in the pew, and they still can't find the books. So we walk back and forth looking like people in a church that you can't guess the code to get into our churches. And all Second Baptists, we've gone through this for years. Let's redesign the website. Let's have a new billboard. Let's have a new jingle. Let's redesign the logo. What works? Not a hit on it. What works? Invite somebody to church. Make it one-on-one. Tap into the power of one. And make it fun. We're going to go to church, and then we're going to go to lunch somewhere. We're going to have a great time, and we'll love to have you. Nina's sister married a great guy about 15 years ago. He's become one of my dearest friends. He is one of the most interesting guys I've ever known in my life. His name is Roger Winter. They live now in Fredericksburg. He was a big advertising guy, marketing genius. Started a company. He was marketing for 7-Eleven, Southland, Gatorade, McDonald's, whatever. He's the guy that actually invented McDonald's monopoly. Think about that. This is a smart guy. They came to Houston about 4 years ago. No, when Catherine died. When Catherine was sick. Was it just 2 years ago? Golly. His precious daughter, that's my mind is gone. His precious daughter, Catherine, was married, had a two-year-old, and she was pregnant with her second child. And when she was delivering that baby, or about ready to deliver, she started having many strokes. Not a good thing. Young lady. As soon as the baby came out, they rushed her in, started doing scans, stage 4 liver cancer, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It's a death sentence. They came to Houston. She was in Denver. They flew her to Houston so she'd go to MD Anderson to just, you know, put up a valiant fight, and hopefully by the grace of God something would work. And so Roger and his family moved into our house. It was a lively place. We had about 16 people there at one time, I think. And one morning, Nina asked Roger, would you like to go to church with us this morning? Ed's teaching. And Roger said, no. She said, we're just going to Sunday school. Ed's teaching. He said, Sunday school? And she said, yeah. He said, you know, Nina's pretty perceptive. Obviously, Roger was not a biblical scholar. She said, you'll sit right next to me. Ed's going to teach. I'll open up a Bible. I'll show you where everything is. And it'll take about 45 minutes, and we're done. And he said, okay, but I don't want to go to worship because I don't want to be anywhere near that singing and clapping stuff. Okay, no problem. We can, as soon as it's over, we'll go have breakfast. Absolutely. We'll make it fun here. He says, okay, I can do this. And I came and I taught, and Roger sat right next to Nina, right there. She opened up her Bible. She showed him where we were. I did a lesson, you know, taught her for our class. Roger followed along. We're all done. He said, that was really good. He said, I still don't want to be around the clapping and singing stuff, though. Okay, no problem. We're ready to go to breakfast. He said, good. At breakfast, he said, that's the first time I've graced a church door in 43 years. What in the world happened? Perception of indifference. A perception that people treated him differently. A perception that people looked down on him. I don't know. But he had a perception about church people that was absolutely wrong. And until he came and saw that you could do a Bible study and sit next to somebody and read from God's Word, and we could do it and pray and then pray over for his daughter, and the people genuinely cared and welcomed him and shook his hand. Nice to meet you. Hope you'll be back again. Guess what? I pulled a dirty trick on him. I'm involved in a prison ministry at Darrington Prison. It's pretty neat. We got a seminary where actually teaching these prisoners to be pastors. And every year we graduate another class. It's a 4-year deal. And they stay on the job because they're usually in for life sentences. So we got these guys for life. It's wonderful. But they become amazing pastors, and they get shotgunned through the Texas prison system. It's making a huge difference. That day, they were doing a convocation, which was to start the new year. And I've been telling Roger about it, and I said, hey, I got to go to prison tomorrow. You want to come with me? And he said, sure. Absolutely. That sounded harmless. What I didn't tell him was it was convocation. What I didn't tell him, that's a giant church service, and there was going to be all kinds of clapping and singing. But I figured we could handle that when we got there. So he couldn't walk in with anything but his driver's license. He left that at the front door, and they walk in behind him, the door behind you, and you're in prison. And we walk in, and he looks at me, and he says, you son of whatever. And I said, isn't this great? Here's the best part. There were rows of prisoners behind us that were just, they were singing and clapping and praising God. And Roger got up and went and sat in the middle of them. And when it came time to sing Amazing Grace, he knew all four verses by heart. All four. He told me later it's because they were on Janis Joplin's LP, 33 and a third record. But it's okay. He got it. We lost Catherine about 2 months later. It really touched Roger's heart. I think that's what opened his heart to God. And he and his wife are primary principal members of a home church in Fredericksburg, Texas. And I baptized him last September. All you have to do is invite somebody to church. All you have to do is find somebody that's there that looks like they don't fit. They'll never be there again. They're from Fredericksburg. They're just in town because their daughter's in the hospital, whatever, and go and make a conversation with them and get to know them. And if you can invite them to prison and lock them up inside and have them singing and dancing as well, good things can happen. Okay. I did a little research on the internet. I'll let you enjoy this. Top 10 ways churches drive away first-time guests. Number one way, this is a great service. Who is this? Tom Rainer. He's a Bible study teacher, and he studied basically and did some surveys. What is it that people hate? I'm not saying this is accurate. I'm not directing what your welcoming service is. I just thought you'd like to know what the top 10 ways to drive people away from your church. Number one, have a stand up and greet one another time in the worship service. That was the survey. If I'm a member of this church and I see friends that I've known for years, Joanna and I have done, we've done life together for 20, 25 years. Julie, I met you when you were fresh out of college. So I would love to have a stand up and, what, darling? It's been a couple of years. Just a moment ago. You look the same. If we were to do a stand-up greet time, I'm going to go stand up and greet the people that I know. What about the person over here that doesn't know anybody? What does it make them feel like? Remember the question, how do you drive off first-time visitors? Let them be alone, what that boils down to. Number two reason, unfriendly church members. Number three, unsafe and unclean children's areas. Number four, no place to get any information. Don't know where to go in, don't know where to go out, don't feel welcome, don't feel comfortable. Number five, bad church website. Number six, poor signage. Number seven, insider church language, the buzzwords. Number eight, wouldn't print out. Number nine, members telling each other where they sit in the pew. This is your pew. This is your chair. I always sit over here. It's not a country club. Number 10, dirty facilities. Two critical statistics for the first-time guests. Leverage the 90% statistic. 10% of the first-time visitors become regular attendees. Why? Because people will call them up and ask them back. The churches where you make an outreach phone call will win that visitor every time. A website, an email, a card, a letter, those all have their places. The phone call with a real person on the other end, not a robocall, where you say, it was so nice to have you. Thank you for coming to visit with us. And I'd love to have you back again. next Sunday we're teaching, so-and-so's teaching. If you'd like to come back to our class, we'll be looking for you. Okay? They come back. When Nina was talking about it, we are gathered together outreach. The easiest outreach of all, I'm a guy, I have bad handwriting. The last thing I want to do is write a note to anybody. So I just picked up my cell phone, grabbed the numbers, and started calling them. And the people who receive a phone call said, thank you for calling. I didn't tell them, I'm so glad I didn't have to write you. And they showed up. And they showed up again and again and again because they were, what was the word? Invited. The invitation is everything. So, how are you guys doing? Doing good? For the people that are my age and younger, there's this thing called social media. It drives the marketing world. And people who are looking for a church, what do they do first? The yellow pages are gone, folks. Those are dead. They Google it. They go on Facebook. And they go on Yelp. And they look at your website. Here's your Facebook page. Just printed out about an hour ago. Going, giving, and praying. You might have seen that before. Pastor Greg Mott, you have 11,394 likes. How many of y'all think that's great? It's not. I don't have any idea what Second Baptist has. I couldn't care less at this point. At the Taste of Texas restaurant, we have about 80,000 likes. Now we're selling food and celebration and hospitality. You're selling the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so much easier. The Facebook, social media, Twitter world is so important to reach out to people. Can you do one for your class? You probably can. I would suggest that you send out an email once a week with kind of an update of what's going on. You can attach a 4,000-page prayer sheet behind it that never ends if you want. Our class does that. I read the first five, and then I stop because I just can't become a monk and read the rest of them. But I'm interested in what's going on in the class, who's celebrating an anniversary, what's happening there, so I can see when I get to class, I can say something to them. Or if there's a challenge or if there's an emergency prayer situation, I want to know about it. Communicate with me and draw me in, and I will be there. And then there's this thing called Yelp. How many of you guys follow Yelp? Y-E-L-P. Yelp is what is the world is turning to. Yelp and TripAdvisor drive probably 70% of our business. The people who don't know us, the people, new customers come in the door. We've been in business 39 years. We're in our 40th year. Somebody comes in the door. We say, have you ever been here before? They say, nope. Okay, I want to talk to you. Wonderful. We're glad you're here. How'd you find out about us? Because I could have put a $15,000 a month billboard up. I could have spent $30,000 a month on radio advertising. I could have bought double truck ads in the newspaper, but nobody reads that thing anymore. I could have bought a color page in the book that they used to stick in hotel rooms or whatever it was. And my question is always going to be, how'd you find us? And what do you think the answer is these days almost every time? Yelp and TripAdvisor. We don't control them. Or do we? If you haven't read your Yelp or your TripAdvisor, you really don't control it. If you haven't read what people are saying about you, then you don't have any idea how to market or how to draw people in. You guys are doing pretty good on Yelp. 5-star reviews. Biblically based, solid Christian teaching. So incredibly happy to have found this church. Another 5-star. 4-star, really good, friendly, warm church. It's big. It's usually a negative in churches. So there are lots of resources and opportunities. That's the reason big is good. I was a member here from 2004 to 2008, but I have moved on. However, I still visit regularly, so this person's coming and going. 5-star, I've been a member here for the past 5 years and several other reviews. I've been a member here for the past 5 years, and she wrote up a review in Yelp. She's been a member here for 5 years, and she's out marketing your church. Do you see that? How many people have been a member of this church for longer than 5 years and have never read a Yelp review or never written one? I'm guilty too. I finally had somebody beat it in my thick head. And if you'd like to hang around after the after her class, Nana can give you a few short stories about how thick my head is. Or she might give you some long stories. I'm a Greek Orthodox, but I went here with my fiance per his request. 5-star review. I was surprised to see I enjoyed the sermon. We'll be going back. Who invited the Greek Orthodox, her fiance? Reason that she would want to go, okay? Available. If I'd ask you, what are the odds a Greek Orthodox member would come to this church and write a 5-star review, you would have said zero, right? What did the fiance do? Invited her to church. Okay? Sorry. Let me see if I'm late, running late. Am I getting close? 5 minutes? Okay. 2-star review. These are the ones I want to know about. What went wrong? Yes, the sermon here is great, and I'm quite sure this church has a lot of amazing people. What good is it if they turn away people that are seeking help? Question mark. I literally got turned away at the doorstep when I tried to join their Celebrate Recovery small group. Celebrate Recovery for addictions, I assume. They had a small group, and the small group, I'm sure, was very, very tight. I mean, after all, that's an enormous victory to get your life under control again through Jesus Christ. And the AA people and the NA people, they are the top of my list of heroes. However, these people got so enamored with their support group that they closed the support group. She said, quote, "It took a couple of years and a lot of courage for me to actually walk in the door." She must have had that same conviction I had. "And I was very intimidated and hesitant as I walked down the hall to get to the room." Kind of like the Green Mile with Tom Hanks. "I forced myself to keep walking, telling myself I have to do this in order to live. I opened the classroom door and it was stated on their website, come to the recovery class in room number, 1234, whatever it is. I apologized for being 5 minutes late and was about to walk in. I got annoyed looks, attitude of indifference, from the people who were there, go to their Thursday main celebratory, the people there, and someone stated this is a closed group and I should go to their Thursday main celebrate recovery service. You're not welcome." Complications? I'm sure that group had a reason for saying that. We forget sometimes that we're basically the emergency room. We're not a country club. We should have emergency outside the door if it wouldn't distract and send ambulances over here, because people have emergencies going on in their lives, and as Christians, it's up to us to administer first aid. And what's the first aid they want to hear? You're welcome here. We're glad you're here. We're all sinners here, and Jesus loves you, and God is in the restoration business, and that's the best message we've ever got to sell. That's the greatest thing you can sell in this world, is the great news of what God's done for us. And share that with the people that are coming to the doors of our churches and at our classrooms. I felt bad for a few minutes for tricking my friend and taking him to prison. I was overjoyed when he asked me to baptize him. That's what's available for us if we just open our eyes, look at the people, and find the ones that don't fit. It's real easy to get into our classes and find the people that we know and we love and we really want to chat with that have been endearing and fun and they've got a great story to tell us and such. Change your perspective and look for the ones that don't fit. Look for the ones sitting in the back. Look for the ones sitting by themselves and go out and tell them, we're so glad you're here. We consider this one of the greatest nights of the year for us, that we get the chance to come and share with your church what we do in the restaurant business, what goes on in our lives, and what our experiences are. We are not perfect in any way, shape, or form. Every one of the mistakes I've talked about, we've made them in spades. We're just trying not to make them again. And I wanted just to share with you guys what goes on in our lives, and hopefully it has some application for you. We have something to give away here, since you're celebrating your anniversary with us tonight. You get to register for a door prize. See, when I picked you out and talk to you, you thought nothing good is going to come of this. Here it is. See, we're glad you're here. Is your first and last name, and then I think give it to Joe, and she will turn that in, and you get a prize of some sort. You, but you must be present to win. That's what he said. You have to stay until midnight now. But now there's a reason for you to stay. Sweetheart, come join me up here. Anything you would say?
Close in prayer.
Okay. You close it. If you'd bow your heads, please. Father God, we just rejoice that we could come into your house to meet brothers and sisters in Christ and to share not only the good news of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and salvation and the gift of restoration in our lives. But, Father, now we ask you to equip us as witnesses, as disciples, and to those who take the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world, and especially to those that bravely walk into our churches so that we can welcome them, love them, build them up, and include them in the family of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.